Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18. I believe that we are living in the very last of the last of the last of the last days. And when you think about that, it should make you think about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, who had to keep their lamps full of oil and their wicks trimmed. But one of the things that we often forget about is the statement that the bridegroom delayed his coming and came at midnight. How many of you guys have ever tried to walk at midnight without any lights? Maybe a cloudy day, no street lights. It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? It's dark. I think one of the things that we're seeing, and I think we've seen it for the last couple of years, and we're seeing it, and I think between now and the end of September, we're going to see it a lot more, is that there is a spiritual darkness beginning to cover the planet in a supernatural way. I think that we see it in our interaction with people that we deal with. This week, driving to Muskogee, some young girl, looked like she was in her 20s, was about to change lanes and hit me. So I honked at her so she wouldn't hit me. And she turned around with the most foul face, gestures, and hate in her face. How dare you honk at me for almost hitting you, you know? It's darkness. This morning in the Walmart parking lot, I saw a car with 2 bumper stickers on it. The first one I saw said something about singing soul. Now, if you are exercised in spiritual thought, sometimes you get where you recognize certain things. Now, if it said, you know, my soul magnifies the Lord, I said, oh, that's Christian. But a singing soul, that didn't ring right to me. I thought, that sounds more like New Age. You know, the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And so, you know, there are certain groups of people who live in that realm. We are to live above that realm. The spirit realm is above the mind, the will, and the emotions. If you only live for the Holy Ghost goosebumps, as we call them, that's really a immature level of Christianity. You don't always feel the Lord, but you have to stay close to the Lord. Amen. The second bumper sticker confirmed my suspicions. I looked at it, and I was going to just pass on by contemplating the first one, and I saw the other one had a little house like it was jiggling, you know, how that sideways with a few lines under it like there was motion. And do you know what it said? It said, a house fell on my sister. Now, if you know what that's referring to, it's referring to the Wizard of Oz. Well, no, it wasn't a good witch. There were 2 bad witches. There was the bad witch of the East and the West, I think, wasn't it? And the house, Dorothy's house, fell on her sister, and therefore she's the other witch. So, I mean, such brazen statement that I'm a witch. This was a witch's car. That's what it was. Deuteronomy 18, beginning with verse 9, tells us, when you come to the land which the Lord God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. So here in the Moses law, in the Deuteronomy, the law of God, he tells us that these practices are an abomination to the Lord and that we should not have anything to do with them. witchcraft, fortune telling, and necromancy, how do you say that, necromancy, the talking to the dead, are Satan's counterfeits to holy spirituality. And the Bible expressly condemns all forms of witchcraft. Now, people who seek supernatural experiences that God didn't endorse delve into these practices. The nations that surrounded the promised land were saturated with such practices, and God had stern warning for the people involved in our text this morning. And so God takes witchcraft very seriously. The penalty for practicing witchcraft under the Mosaic law was nothing short of death. And I'll give you a couple of references if you're taking notes. Exodus 22:18, Leviticus 20:27. And in 1 Chronicles 10:13, we find that Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. Have you ever known people who call themselves Christians and read the horoscope? Or I've even known a buddy of mine, his wife, wanted to go visit one of these people that would, like a fortune teller. And he was trying to tell her, we can't do this. He was going to a Baptist church in Muskogee at the time, and it just boggles my mind how someone can call themselves a Christian and think it's okay to do these things. In the New Testament, of course, sorcery, the Greek word for that is pharmaceuta, where we get pharmacy, Galatians 5:20, Revelation 18:23. Which brings us to the whole issue of drugs in our society. You see, the point of witchcraft is to connect you with a spiritual experience apart from going through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is one of the lies of the devil, that you can have a spiritual experience without going through the cross. See, the cross demands death. It was the offer that Satan made to Jesus when he was being tempted in the wilderness. If you'll just bow down and worship me, then you don't have to go through the cross. I'll still give you all the nations of the world. You can have them all. But what good are the nations of the world if Satan is still in it? Amen? And of course, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Witchcraft and spiritism often involves the ritualistic use of magic potions and mind-controlling drugs. Using illicit drugs can open ourselves up to the invasion of demonic spirits. Engaging in a practicing and taking of substance to achieve an altered state of consciousness is a form of witchcraft. Now, how far does that go? We say, oh, yeah, you shouldn't, do crack cocaine. But, you know what, if a person drinks too much alcohol, they can get in that same state, can't they? That's why they call them spirits, right? Because you open yourself up to those things. And God says, don't do it. One of my favorite Carmen songs is called I've Been Drinking from the Well. And I don't remember if I know all the words, but he says something about he'd been to church till, quarter to two, and he came home and they said, hey, there's something potent inside of you. Is that Jim Beam, that homemade stuff? How'd you get so drunk? And the chorus is, I've been drinking from the well, Aren't you glad that I don't have to do that stuff? That there is a well of living water. There is a power in the Holy Spirit that doesn't give me hangovers, that doesn't cause me to delve into the demonic side of the spirit realm, that I can ask God and he will give me the living water. Amen? And I don't need that kind of stuff. So there's two sources of spiritual power, God and Satan. Satan has only the power that God allows him to have. But it's still considerable, isn't it? We don't take lightly Satan's power. But to seek spirituality, knowledge, and power apart from God is idolatry, close related to witchcraft. And it opens us up to all of these spiritual things. In 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The witchcraft is Satan's realm, and he excels in counterfeiting what God does. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, counterfeit. right? When you try to, whatever it is, and you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I may offend some people. And I love movies. I'm a movie buff. But anything that appeals to the soul area to stimulate you can take you into Satan's realm. And I'm not preaching total abstinence. You know, there was a time when the church said, don't do anything. Don't chew, don't spit, don't dip, don't watch movies, don't do this. You know, just go live in the closet, right? The conscience is what God gave us. Does this violate my conscience? And if it does, then don't do it. That was a gift from God. We need to use it. And so Satan has his realm. Now, when Moses performed miracles before Pharaoh, Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing through demonic power. Remember, he threw his stick down, his staff down, it became a snake. And then what happened? Jannes and Jambres are the two magicians, and they did the same thing, right? Now, of course, Moses' serpent ate their serpent. The point is, there are people out there like Jannes and Jambres that exist today in our society. There are people out there who have given themselves over to this spirit, and because they've given themselves over to the spirit, witches, warlocks, demonic worshipers. And we are seeing with these demonic statues in Michigan, Oklahoma City, you know, the removing of the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. Church, we are entering the darkest part of midnight that the world has ever seen. And if you don't believe me, then just keep going the way you're going without pressing into God, and you will get sucked into it. It's like a black hole. I'm not here to scare you. I'm just here to tell you what God told me to say. The church needs to be the church. Amen. At the heart of witchcraft is a desire to know the future and control events that are not ours to control. Those abilities belong only to the Lord. This desire has its root in Satan's first temptation of Eve. You can be like God. And that's really what people want. They want the power without the cross. They want the power without repentance. They want the power without the prayer. And you can't have that unless you go Satan's route. And he take his lie. And he will tell you can have the power, and he will give you some of the power. But there's a high price to pay, isn't there? Amen? And the lie is still going on today. You can be like God. You can have what you want. You know, life in the fast lane. You know, there is a difference between reality and fantasy. What was the name of the guy? They have those series of movies, Fast and Furious. They've made about six of them, I think. And then the last one they made, one of the main actors died in a car wreck in California because he couldn't separate the fantasy of Hollywood movie magic from reality. And he was probably drinking, and he's driving like a madman, thinking that he's invincible, and he died, and they had to edit the movie to finish shooting it because this guy somehow thought that he could do what they were doing in the movies. Reality is reality, and a lie is lie. You can't be like a God. You can be a child of God, and that's the reality. Amen. Since the Garden of Eden, Satan's major focus has been to divert human hearts away from the worship of the true God. Genesis 3:1. Did God really say that? He entices humans with the suggestion of power, self-realization, and spiritual enlightenment apart from submitting to the Lord. Witchcraft is merely another branch of that enticement. To become involved in witchcraft in any way is to enter Satan's realm. Think about it. Seemingly harmless modern entanglements with witchcraft can include horoscope, Ouija board, Eastern meditation, rituals, and even some video games and role-playing games. And you open yourself up. Not to mention what we said earlier about the mind-altering drugs and alcohol. Any practice that dabbles in a power source other than the Lord Jesus Christ is witchcraft. Can I say that again? Any practice that dabbles in a power source other than the Lord Jesus Christ is witchcraft. Revelation 22:15 includes witches in the list of those who will not inherit eternal life. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts and sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. That's Revelation 22:15. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. We don't need to fear Satan's power. I don't want this sermon to be about fear. But we need to respect it and stay away from it. Amen? 1 John 4:4 says it. Say it with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You see, this sermon is not about how much power Satan has. It's just about how to stay away from it. Because I have read the back of the book. And I win. And you win. So greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. One can send 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Many will come, fall at my side, but it won't come nigh to me if I keep myself in the love of God. Right? I have to stay where I need to stay and stay away from what I need to stay away from. With darkness crouching in around us, with darkness around every corner, it is time, high time, that the church start remembering our call to holiness and the fear of the Lord. It is the only guard against the demonic influence that is ahead. Satan can create much havoc, harm, and destruction even in the lives of believers. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. So we do see, even with the Apostle Paul, this great man of God, that Satan hindered him. And Eddie read this morning that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But aren't you glad that God gave us an armor to wear? And he told us to put it on. If you don't put it on, it's not your fault. It's not God's fault, is it? I'm to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, one of the big lies of the devil is because, oh, well, you sinned. You know, you blew it. Well, I'm also under the blood. I have the breastplate of righteousness. And it protects my heart, which is where the devil wants to destroy you at. For out of the heart, Jesus said, proceed these things. I have the mind of Christ to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel feet. The loins girded about with truth. And then I have the shield of faith. Amen? By faith, I believe. By faith, I stand. By faith, I know. How do you know this? By faith. Do you really believe Jesus is coming again? Yes. How do you know that? By faith. Why do you pray? Do you think God's going to heal you? Yeah. Why do you think that? By faith. God devoted an entire chapter called Hebrews 11 to that statement, by faith. By faith, Moses was hidden, being a more beautiful child. By faith, by faith, by faith, the three Hebrew children, you know, went into the fire. By faith, Daniel slept while the lion slept. By faith, the time would fail me to tell of Barak and Joash and Samson, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, shut the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, and out of weakness were made strong. How'd they do it? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as the darkness begins to crouch around us, we need to have the shield of faith. Can I get an amen? And finally, he said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I tell you, if you can come to Nola Jean's Praise Move classes, you know, our hours don't fit. But you can, if you can do anything, listen to sermons online, mine, other preachers, you need to keep the Word of God flowing through you like a river. Amen. Water never stagnates when it's moving. Can I get an amen? And you need to renew your mind daily with the Word of God. put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no power that can ultimately defeat us. Isaiah 54:17, say it with me, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me. Now, sometimes it looks like the weapons that the devil forms against us are going to prosper. But God is a liar if they do. I said God is a liar if they do, because he said no weapon will prosper. So when the devil's saying, you know, hey, I've got you now, say, you're a liar. I read it. It's in the Word of God. You don't have a weapon that in your hell arsenal that can prosper against me, because God said it won't. Woo! That's a good place for an amen. Hallelujah. God said it won't. And if he said it, I believe it. And if he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. If God said it, no weapon. You know how many weapons is no weapons? No weapons. No weapons formed against me can prosper. We're overcomers. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith. Faith. There it is again. So as we put on the whole armor of God, you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Again, a witch moves in your neighborhood, move her out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I remember Constant Cumbie. Constant Cumbie is an attorney out of Detroit, Michigan. And back in the, my early Christian days of the early 80s, Southwest Radio Church out of Oklahoma City. I was in Omaha at the time, but they're out of Oklahoma City. And they had her on there talking about her book, Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, about the New Age movement back in the early 80s. And I've followed her career over the years, and she told a story about going to one of these New Age meetings where Maitre, or whatever this channeling guy, New Age channel guy, was there, and they have this little statement that they say at the beginning, you know, that calls the spirit down into this guy, and he begins to channel and say all these things. And she was there, and as they're saying their thing, she's reciting out loud, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And she begins to pray the Lord's Prayer out loud where they're all channeling this spirit in. And this guy's up there, and they're waiting for him to begin to, you know, get in this zone and begin to channel all these things. And he can't get it. You know, this one little 40-year-old, 50-year-old attorney from Michigan saying the Lord's Prayer stopped the power of hell in this meeting. And he said this rather heavy-set woman that was in the aisle next to her, they canceled the meeting. He said, I don't know what's going on. I can't continue. We're going to cancel, and we'll do this again. And this woman at the end of the aisle, a big woman, wouldn't let her by. She said, I heard what you did. Well, you can take off some devils, can't you? Just by saying the Lord's Prayer. No weapon formed against us. Don't let the witches in your neighborhood, don't let the demons scare you. I got good news. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We give our lives to Christ, we must repent. This repentance should include renouncing any involvement with witchcraft, following the example of the early believers in Acts 19:19, and it said, many of them also, which use curious arts, you can fill in whatever that means, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and they found it 50,000 pieces of silver. See, when the new Christians all began to get saved, they had books on different gods, you know? And they recognized, hey, God don't want me to have this stuff in my house anymore. You got a Ouija board, you better throw that thing out, man. I don't think anybody here would be that whatever. But, you know, don't just throw it out. Burn the thing. And that's what they did. They burned them. Yeah. 50,000 pieces of silver. Well, you don't know how much I paid for that thing. Yeah, and I know how much you're going to pay for it if you keep it in your house. It's going to cost you a lot more than you paid for it. Amen. Isaiah 8:19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? That's what Isaiah says. You know, shouldn't you just ask God? Why would you go to those people? Why would you read your horoscope? Why don't you just ask God? I mean, seriously. When we follow those words to the logical conclusion, we could also ask, why seek any power apart from the source of the real power? Why seek spirits who are not of the Holy Spirit? There's only one Holy Spirit. It's the third person of the Godhead. And that's the one that I want. Amen. Witchcraft and its many counterparts promise spirituality, but lead only to emptiness and death. Micah 5:12, and I will cut off witchcraft out of their hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. They may be here today, but guess what? They're going to be gone tomorrow. Amen. Some of the scoffers, well, it's just a fad. It'll pass away. Talking about Christianity, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about revivals. Guess what? We're still here. They passed away. Hallelujah. I'm still standing, aren't you? I'm still believing, aren't you? I'm still holding on, aren't you? That's what we do. That's what the church does. Though the world go to hell in a handbasket, the church, triumphant, is still going through. Still going through. Still standing. Still preaching. Still believing. Still holding on. Still reading this old book. It may be old-fashioned to some people, but to me it is life and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is the Word of God, and I will stand on it until He comes. Hallelujah. So, Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That statement is the answer to witchcraft and demonic involvement in our society. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, they don't want to hear it. Demons do not want to hear that. I've ticked off some demons before. You can always spot demons because they lurk. It's like a snake, they lurk. And they come in whispers. And they try to manipulate you in your thinking. Well, what about this? What about that? And you do not reason with the devil. You don't reason with him. You quote the word. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, but, you know, so and so. Well, but I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, I mean, you can make the most powerful demon, witch, sorcerer run. You can make them run. Like, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you will see, as we approach the day, less and less churches preaching the cross, preaching the blood, and standing on the word. You will see it. Amen. And if the Lord tarries, it will probably come to the place where true churches have to go underground. And I hope I don't see that, but it may. But you know what? It doesn't matter where we're at, because where two are gathered, He is there. Amen. Now, before we close, come on up, Nola. Before we close, I want to ask you, let's all stand. I want you to ask you to begin to, right now, begin to pray. Because I believe that the Lord told me to preach this morning for a specific reason. And there may be someone here, it may be just a little teeny thing. You know, that thing about them coming together and burning those books, people do not want to let go of those things. You know, when Rachel and Leah left her father, Laban, she took her little gods in her saddlebag. There's something about those little gods that people don't want to throw them in the fire. And if you're here this morning and maybe I've stepped on your toes in some area, and maybe say, well, you know, I think he's being a little over picky, you know, sipping saints or whatever. But I'm here to tell you, you need to throw it in the fire. You need to throw it in the fire. Lord, as we are here this morning, we're praying. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight, Lord. We have seen in the last 10 years the world spiral completely out of control. Just 10 years ago, we have been shocked if we had seen what's going on. How God's been taken out of the military, out of the government. How it's not politically correct to be a Christian anymore. How Islam is on the rise. Darkness is everywhere. Demonic influence is everywhere. And for a child of God to do anything that would open a door to that is foolishness. And so, Lord, right now, take inventory of our heart and our life. And we pray right now, Lord, that we would not be offended, that we would not resist the calling of the Holy Spirit to throw it in the fire. To throw it in the fire. Whatever it is, you can let go of it. It does not matter. What matters is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus said it this way: if your hand causes you to sin, remove it. Better to go to heaven without a hand than to go to hell with both. Father, we just pray this morning in Jesus' name, that you forgive us, Lord, for those idols in our life. Lust, sexual perversion, alcohol, drugs, anything, Lord, that would open us up to demonic influence. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, and we ask you to help us right now to throw it in the fire. We know that there is no temptation that is common to man, but with it you promised in your word you would provide a way of escape. And so, Lord, help us to escape these things, to throw it in the fire, to throw it in the fire, and to live that holy life that you've called us to live, looking to and hastening the coming of the Lord, which is not far away. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.